All right. Well, there's a reason my messages are so short. It's because I never know what I'm going to speak to about when I get up on a podium. So I've often thought it might be a fun idea to come up here with no notes so that I can be just as surprised as the rest of you by what comes out. But I'm not sure that would be appropriate. This week, while I was trying to think of my message, time was ticking down, Sunday was rapidly approaching, and I was running out of time. The sermon isn't going to write itself. Believe it or not, when I read the scriptures, sermon ideas aren't leaping off the page at me and urging me to bring them forward. I wish they did, and for some, I'm sure they do. A lot of that probably has to do with gift. Some are blessed with an overabundance of verbosity when it comes to delivering a message in a public forum. I fare better in personal conversation, which is why I try and construct my sermons very plainly. It's probably why they're usually quite short, since nobody else is involved in the other end of my conversation. Sunday's almost here. No sermon. What do? Read more? Read less? Google sermon topic ideas? I'm getting a little tense. I find that when I need to clear my head, I like to reach for my guitar, and I play. It relaxes me. It soothes, and there's an effect that music can have on your soul that calms you in a way that other things just can't. If I need time at home, I retreat to my studio. At work, there's a guitar in my office, so I make sure there's never a place that I'm too far away from a guitar at any given point. I picked up my guitar in my office and I started to play. Ugh. The string was out of tune. Just one. As I tuned it up, I thought to myself, it's crazy how just one string being out of tune can make the rest of the guitar sound so awful. Then it hit me. There's my sermon. So the sermon today is six things a believer needs to keep in tune to be an effective Christian. So the first string is prayer. How many people here would say they have an outstanding relationship with people in their life that make absolutely no attempt to talk to them? It doesn't generally turn out too well. Well, prayer is the believer's correspondence with God. Here's the interesting thing about prayer. God already knows what we want, what we need, how we are feeling, what we are thinking. When we pray, we're not relaying anything new to God that He isn't already fully aware of. Prayer is a sign of acknowledgement that God is in control and shows that the believer is needing, wanting, desiring God's control in their life's matters. It's a sign of openness, and it's the believer's contribution to a relationship with their Heavenly Father. People who claim they don't have time to pray do not have time for God. Prayer doesn't always have to be on bended knee. It doesn't have to be poetic. It doesn't have to be verbalized. Any petition, request, thanks, or praise given to God, even in thought alone, is prayer. You're communicating a message directly to Him. Sometimes you will not have the time to kneel wherever you are and say something out loud. But turning the radio down in your car for a moment to pray for your family's safety as you set out, or as you head down the hallway with a coworker and thank the Lord for another beautiful day inside your head, that's a prayer. In my opinion, to go a day without prayer means you have gone a day without once thinking about the Lord. If you're a believer, how can you do that? So here's a few references in Scripture about prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. John 15, 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 4, 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray without ceasing. 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Jeremiah 33, 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And Psalm 34, 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. As you can see, the Bible has quite a bit to say about prayer. That's just scratching the surface, but clearly it's form of communication with God that we cannot ignore. He promises to answer, so it's something that we need to pay special attention to. Second string, study. How do you know you're saved? Do all roads lead to heaven? Why do bad things happen to good people? What makes a cult? Is hell a literal place? How do you know the church you're in isn't really a cult? And the speaker standing before you isn't just a two-bit cult leader. There's a lot of questions you'll be asked in your life concerning your faith or the faith of others. When you give an answer, are you certain you're giving the right one? Is the answer you're giving one that you heard from the pulpit and assumed it to be correct because the speaker did his research, or it sounds about right, or that's what the daily Bible study booklet said? Or did you come to that answer through your own careful study of God's word? I find that when you debate with certain groups, I find atheists and evolutionists in particular, they like to tell you what you believe and then go on to tear it apart. Do you know how to correct them, or is their assessment bang on? I find most times when you press them hard enough, they will eventually have to admit that they didn't actually read the Bible through, but they quickly try and cite someone that did, and that's why they know that we're wrong. It sounds foolish, right? So why would a believer want to do something like that and cite the preacher's notes instead of the scripture that they've studied themselves from the source? It takes effort. Unlike prayer, you can't study the scriptures all day long through the power of thought. You have to take time to sit down with the word and draw all the knowledge out that you can. You think you don't have time. Did you watch TV today? Did you exercise today? Did you volunteer to take on extra work today? Did you play with the kids today? Did you visit some friends today? Did you read a good book other than the good book today? Did you sleep in today? Did you go to bed early today? There's always a place to make time. These are some references for study of scripture. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:14 17, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And then finally, Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Third string, thanksgiving. In our world today, our news broadcasts are constantly bombarded with stories of death, corruption, wars, natural disasters, labor strikes, disease, scams, and other feel-good stories that carry out into our everyday lives. If you have any form of social media, look at how many people are upset at U.S. President Donald Trump. He's building a wall. He's changing immigration policies. He's friendly with the Russians. Guess what? I don't care. And neither should you. First of all, if you look at a map, we're in Canada, so he's not our president. Second, if you think the alternative choice, Hillary Clinton, was a beacon of morality, please give your head a shake now. We are supposed to be in this world, but not of it. The world is full of greed, filth, deviation. We should not be concerned with the physical. We have the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord and his sacrifice on Calvary. What happens in this world has absolutely no effect on our eternal security. Do you truly understand how awesome that is? Every day we have on this earth is an absolute gift that we get to share with others. Your presence here today in this room is a blessing. I appreciate the fact that every one of you in this room is here today. And I hope each of you feels the same way about everyone else that's here. Be thankful, no matter your social standing or your health. Life itself is precious, and we have it. So let's rejoice and be thankful. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Psalm 106:1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 107:1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Psalm 28, 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. Colossians 3, verses 15 and 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. String 4. Witnessing. If the believer has my last point down pat, then this point should come very easily. Have you ever bought a product that actually did what it claimed it could do when you thought all hope was lost? Maybe it's that polish that did remove the scratch from your car you thought that was there for good, or the shampoo that didn't cause an irritation on your sensitive skin, the weight loss method that actually helped you lose weight, the stain remover that got the stain out of what you thought had permanently damaged your favorite shirt, or any fine product from CityVac. What do you do when that happens? You tell everybody you can about this amazing product. You rave about how it affected your life for the positive. You tell them how you should get it too, because you know it will benefit them. You have the most amazing thing that anyone could ever possess. So why would you not tell others about it? By sharing it, it doesn't diminish our share of it. Why would we not want other people to know how they could live eternally in the presence of the Lord, not separated from him? If you feel salvation is something that you truly need, why does your neighbor, your friend, your family member not need it? They do. We need to share this gift with others. Beyond all of that, if you still feel you don't want to, it doesn't matter, because we're commanded to. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Mark 16, 15. And he saith unto them, Go ye into the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Colossians 4, 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Matthew 5, 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Acts 1, 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Mark 16, 15. We already did that one, sorry. 2 Corinthians 5, 18, 21. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All right. String 5. Fellowship. We need to surround ourselves with other believers. We're all part of one body, the scripture tells us. If you cut off a part of your body and leave it out on its own, well, it doesn't survive very long, does it? The network of fellow believers that we have access today is unlike any other time before. The internet connects us worldwide. Where in the time of Paul the Apostle, letters had to be written and distributed, many months could go by without news from a brother or sister in Christ. Today, the messages preached in our little assembly in Guelph, Ontario, are reaching people in India, Pakistan, Germany, Israel, anywhere there's access to the internet. We need to instruct, encourage, comfort, and pray for each other both locally and globally. We need to push ourselves to be better Christians, and we need to keep relationships with other believers strong to encourage that. You see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also ye do." Hebrews 10, 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Hebrews 10, 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Proverbs 27, 17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." 1 John 1, 3, "That which ye have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Matthew 18, 20, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst." Ephesians 5, 30, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Galatians 6, 2, "Bury ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." 1 Peter 3, 8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion, one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." 1 John 1, 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us all from sin." Sixth string, final one, growth. At first glance, this point could seem to be more of a result of the first five actions rather than its own point. But this is the approach I'm taking. If you're training for an athletic competition, or maybe you just want to look good for beach season, you exercise. Exercise is going good, fat is dropping, muscle is gaining, and you're starting to take shape. Uh-oh, my arms are huge, but my legs look like popsicle sticks. Time to adjust your workout routine. We have to take a look at our own life and try and break down where we need to improve. That's what creates growth. You may spend hours a day in the Bible, in Bible study and prayer, but did you witness to somebody today? You had a great time at church today. Does that mean you don't have to do anything else spiritual for the rest of the day? We need to strive towards perfection. We'll not get there on this earth, but the pursuit of it is important. Find your weaknesses and make them strong. Allow the Lord to work on those trouble areas so that you will be a more effective believer that he can work through. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord." 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Ephesians 4:15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 8. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Final reference is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I hope this serves as an encouragement to all of you to continue in your faith. We have an amazing opportunity to reach others for Christ and share an eternity with them. We need to make sure that we do all we can to keep our lives in tune with what God wants. And if we do that, we'll be an instrument that can inspire others to do the same. Luke, could you close the meeting in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for the time that we have together, Lord, in your presence. Thank you for our brother Dave's words that he's spoken from your word. Thank you for the wisdom and knowledge that you share with us, Lord, for the salvation of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for all these things. Please depart us with peace and pray that we all have a good week, a good fruitful week, and are able to gather here again next Sunday together in your name, Lord. Amen.